Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police departments. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, no, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
What you say? that prayer.
Man, you know you better take it on the lamb.
You better watch the man.
I don't like the hood. What you say, prayer? I said we better take it on the lamb.
You better watch the man.
But
come over here, brother. Let me tell you something. You think we're talking too loud?
First that's first.
I ain't got no dust.
I don't have to take it on the lamb.
Watch that man.
Huh?
Watch that man.
Watch them. Yeah, all right. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Coming from some funny places. What you say, bro?
What's happening? Wow.
Trying to get down. Well, you know, look at him. We can't have that.
That's right. That is, yeah.
There ain't no alcohol. Man, I don't dig it. What you say, Jason?
Hey, don't be so mean.
You know I'm clean now. Yeah.
And on the sea.
Excuse me, cat, while I rap.
People who live in towns and cities in Uganda and many other African countries have some access to grid electricity to light their homes and power their businesses. But many rural people aren't connected at all. But simply waiting for the grid to arrive isn't good enough for entrepreneurs like Moses Akera. He recognizes there's a good business to be made harnessing the power of the sun.
I really prefer solar to be used in the community like this, because it remains the property of the client. You don't pay bills and you don't buy fuel like somebody using generator.
So solar energy is the best option for many rural Ugandans. But being new to the industry, many solar retailers like Moses were struggling to make their businesses a success.
We don't have capacity to advertise ourselves, our products. We don't have capacity to have quality technical training.
So the Rural Energy Foundation, a not-for-profit organization, introduced the Solar Now program in 2007. Its aim, to spread the benefits of electricity throughout rural Africa by providing training and support to existing solar retailers like Moses. And they encourage other retailers and entrepreneurs to start selling solar equipment from scratch.
Most of these retailers need to be supported in terms of training so that they can be able to run their businesses better. They also need support in terms of market awareness, because so many people out here in the field do not know about solar, so we need to come and enlighten them.
As well as training, the Rural Energy Foundation loans retailers portable demonstration kits, which they use to drum up business in local markets.
What we're trying to do is, these people are off-grid and they do not have access to electricity. So we're trying to show them how solar can improve their lives. For instance, we try to show them how they can make money from solar. For instance, here with us we have a shaver, so they can use this to have barbershops. We also show them how they can use it to use light at their homes. See, when you have this light in your house, the children can study at night. They can use it in their shops to work longer hours, and they can use it at home.
If retailers want to use the Solar Now brand, they have to commit to providing high-quality installations and good after-sales service. The Rural Energy Foundation helps them achieve this by training solar technicians.
We're trying to get the entrepreneurs to sign service contracts, so when they sell the product, it also comes with after-sales service. Let's say they have to check to make a phone call to the customer after a certain period to check if the system is working. And then till after some time through the service contract, they also have to go and actually do the inspection of the system.
The Rural Energy Foundation has trained over 200 retailers in 9 African countries. So far, they've sold 57,000 solar home systems and 36,000 solar lanterns. They've helped at least 400,000 people, saved nearly 5 million litres of kerosene and 12,000 tons of CO2 each year. Basil Okalo is impressed and has decided to buy the equipment from Moses to set up his own solar barbershop and phone charging business. He's taking advantage of a credit scheme which helps entrepreneurs buy equipment from SolarNow retailers to get their businesses going.
SolarNow is giving me a loan. I'm going to make a down payment of 25% now. Later, in 3 months' time, I'll make another 25%, making a total of 50%. Then the remaining I'll complete within a period of a year.
With his system now installed, Basil is optimistic about the future.
Because this is a new investment I'm going into. I have never been into this business before. But as I see, I have the expectation that I'll make money.
Moses is growing his solar retail business too. He already had a shop in town. With support from the Rural Energy Foundation, he's now set up a small village branch to cater specifically for his rural customers.
Rural Energy Foundation is very important to us. If they help us training technicians, we shall be in position to expand all over.
We hope that others will also adopt the private sector development approach. We don't want to be unique. We want to spread the word that this is a really efficient approach to get the technology diffused deeply into the rural markets.
The Rural Energy Foundation plans to expand into other African countries and broaden its range of sustainable technologies. Solar panels are now becoming a common sight here on homes, and shops buy them as well to run radios and offer phone charging, increasing their income and enabling people to communicate. And to everyone's delight, the local bar has installed a fridge powered by the sun. The owner is pleased with his investment.
Yeah, we're happy. Of course, it's cold. The beer tastes better. And so I get more customers.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do. And,
but we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you are driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build those shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and There were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their hands.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, these your cars? I said, no. He said, I just bought this house, man. I said, all right, that's what's up. He was like, you know whose cars these is? He said, no. He said, well, I bought the house, not the cars. Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, we finna fix this house. I said, what kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, these my friends. The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Woo. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family going to live in there? Is they going to... I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
People keep talking about how the world is going to come to an end. And I wonder, in these days and these times, if anybody likes to say,
is anybody,
have you got a ticket? People keep talking about how society is falling down today. And as hard as I try not to listen just to what them folks got to say, but you know, I just can't help but look around and see we digging our own grave. And there's just one thing I want to know. Can anybody be saved? Save me, Lord.
Well, I'll be better if I'm not around you, yeah. Will the man be spared who spoke the truth, cause he never did abuse it?
From the vow. As long as I wanna be saved, how can I be free in my mind? As long as I'm a slave, is anybody gonna be saved? Is anybody gonna be saved? Oh, save again.
Before we go to the phone lines here, let's see, we got trending topics, there are various trending topics. I'm going from Yahoo News. Let's see, breaking news, according to Yahoo, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi makes her historic trip to Taiwan, stroking tensions with China. Let's see. Oh, did I hear a... Oh, no wonder I heard a... I heard a background noise, and it was me on Clubhouse. Okay, anyway. Somebody sent me something a couple of days ago. The person with the longest sentence out of the... Capitol Hill riot thing was a black person, or has been a black person. Let's see, January 1st, six rioter convicted at trial, sentenced to more than 7 years in prison. Now, let me see, let me read this right. Guy Reffitt, an associate of the far-right 3%ers militia, was sentenced Monday to 87 months or more than 7 years in federal prison for participating in the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol. The longest prison sentence handed down thus far in connection to the violent insurrection. All right. Well, this dude doesn't look black to me. Let's see. Well, that's in the news. All right. Well, I guess there was a black guy that was sentenced to something like 60 months, and this guy surpassed that. So I guess they took the race element out of that. However, I didn't read the whole article just now, so correct me anybody if I'm wrong on that. You got the California fires out that way. White House slammed Russia for its bad faith counteroffer to the U.S. Brittany Griner prisoner swap. And a bunch of other Trinity. But if you got anything, 619-768-2945. Let's go to the phone lines. 773, your mic is open.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm not that I done got some rest from Saturday. I'm doing a whole lot better.
I imagine you had a very busy. Now, how many people attended Saturday?
We didn't have a lot. We had maybe about 40 or 50 people that showed up. But all of the vendors hired children. All the children that were there that wanted to work made money. The vendors made money. We had a lot of knowledge sharing sessions. We had two youth groups. I'm waiting on the young. Our photographer didn't show up. But there was a young man there that was videoing for the place that donated the space to us. So he did say that we would be getting some copies of what they were doing. They were doing a documentary.
I looked on Facebook Saturday, but I didn't see any live streams on it. So
yeah, because our person didn't show for us.
Okay, well, that was the reason for that. Okay.
But as soon as he provides the tape, I'm going to send it to you, so you'll get a chance to see. But we had one elected official. You know, we got 50 wards in Chicago. But we only had one black official that showed up in support of the children, Jeanette Taylor from the 20th Ward. So she fell in love with what she saw and wants to do one in her ward. So all of them other politicians that I've been working with in the past to help get elected, they won't see me helping them anymore. Because if you can't stand for the children, then that means you don't stand for us.
Right. Well, 40 or 50
people,
that's a pretty good
turnout. No, I won't be supporting any of them in the future.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think 40 to 50 people is a good turnout.
Oh, yes.
You know.
My daughter even showed up. This was because it was an emotional thing for her. So she would just make her donations to the success of the day, and she would leave. And this year she stayed and did the cooking for me all day long. She cooked hot dogs for the children all the entire time she was there. The children loved
the reclaim,
and I did not know. See, I hadn't even paid attention, but I think they still do at my church. I did not know that they never explained to the children the reason when people are praying for you, your hands are in front of you, palm up. I didn't know they didn't explain to the children what that means.
I've seen that,
okay,
but I've never heard an explanation of why is that. I've seen it, but no explanation.
Because it means that I received and I accept the blessings that you are requesting from God for me.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, it means I receive it and I accept it. If we don't go back to teaching our children their history, how can we expect them to do something different? They listen to all of this garbage about what we do and don't do. This is crazy. This that it tripped me out because there were adults that was there that didn't know what that meant.
I would have been one of them. You just saw me. Like I said, I've seen it, but no, you know, nobody's other than just what you just did explained it. Who were some of the vendors? What kind of vendors did you have Saturday?
Oh, well, we had Go Go Girl Catering.
Mm-hmm.
We had a young man, Dion, and I never say his last name right, Halliman. And he did it. He does this artwork. And this was his first time coming, and he got right into the spirit of it. A young Dion Holland. It's called Black Skull Art.
Uh-huh.
A young man, I guess he must have been about 11 or 12, 13 maybe. He walked up to him and said, "I love your work." The young man gave him his card and told him, "Call me. I'm going to make sure that you know how to do what I do." Okay?
Mm.
We had Raw Design is a greeting card company, and it's the only black company that actually do Kwanzaa cards according to the Nguza Saba. We had Everlasting Joy Seasoning, which is my company.
Okay.
We had J Creations, which is a jewelry maker. We had Mama Pamela Dominguez, who her grandchildren were selling, paparazzi jewelry?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we had Wholesale Direct to You, which is they sell black toilet paper.
Now, hold on, my attention with that one. Now, black toilet paper, that's as obvious as it seems. It's actually toilet paper that's colored black?
No, it's just a black company that makes the toilet paper, and they hire black college students to help them get through college.
Okay, got it. All right.
Yeah. We had Antonio Mano, which is also a caterer. He does vegan food. Did I say Go Go Girl Catering? She does. She's a caterer.
Well,
now,
what kind of food does Go Go Girl Catering? What are they? You know,
they
what
do
kind
regular
of food
soul
they
food.
Right, regular soul food. Okay.
Yeah, and she makes some of the best macaroni and cheese there is. I love it.
And her husband
do the catering, and he makes the best cake. Her husband does.
You said cake?
Huh?
You said cake?
Yeah, he makes different kind of cakes, and they are so good.
Okay. I know one. Does he make a coconut cake?
Yes, coconut. And my favorite is his German chocolate.
I like both of them. My grandmother used to make coconut cakes. I haven't had a slice of coconut cake in easily over 20 years.
Well, when you come to Chicago, we're going to have to make sure that you get it because there's a couple of two, three people that I know that make really good coconut cakes.
Yeah, my grandmother used to make those on a regular. But, all right, so, yes, all right, you have some nice vendors there. And the kids are happy with those hot dogs. I know I would be.
I didn't know beef hot dogs came that big.
Now, were they hot dogs or half smokes?
Huh?
Were they hot dogs or half smokes?
Well, they said it was beef hot dogs.
Okay.
L.A., don't laugh at me. I just send the money to somebody that goes and do the shopping for me because I don't get around like I used to.
Okay.
But I would imagine not at 73, right? So I just send the money and tell them what I said. Huh?
I don't consider 73 old. 73 might be the new 43.
Oh, well, I'll be there when I started feeling 43 then.
Yeah, well, it all really just comes down to, you know, how well you take care of yourself. You know, that I think that's, you know, keep active. So that's the main thing.
Oh, yeah. So with Jeanette Taylor, we are not only going to do the Reclaiming Our Youth Day market, we are also going to go back old school and do a sharing day where people will clean out their closets and be able to give away clothes they can't wear and stuff, you know. Whatever they want to share with the community will be a really community sharing day. So
okay.
We will have vendors and we will have folks sharing stuff that they can no longer use.
Now, what day is this on?
Well, I'm supposed to meet with her one day this week to set a day because we want to try to do it before the children go back to school while the weather is still nice.
Oh, that's coming up soon. And they go back
yeah.
to school at the end of this month, right?
Right.
Mm, okay.
Well, I think it's the first Wednesday in September. The first Wednesday
okay.
after Labor Day.
I know some kids go to school, like here in Florida. I don't know if they changed it since the pandemic, but a lot of them go to, like, right before Labor Day, sometime in August. So, but it's different
yeah.
in different places and whatnot. How long is the school year up there anyway? September to what? June or July?
Yeah, September to June.
Okay. All right. Yeah, some places it's a little bit longer than that. But
yeah.
Now, do they have snow days in Chicago? Like, I know, like, in Washington, D.C., the DMV, you know, District, Maryland, Virginia, when it snows and it doesn't
some
have
days,
to be a heavy snow.
Some days, yeah, we have some days that it be snow so much you can't get them in the school.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, because in D.C., there's a little bit of snow. Schools are closed. But
oh,
that
no.
area doesn't get as much snow as Chicago gets snow. We don't. I mean, D.C. doesn't.
Yeah, we get real snow here.
Yeah, you get real snow up that way. So, I've been through there in the wintertime. That wind was, I didn't get bogged down by any snow, but when I was in the wintertime up there, I remember I stepped off the plane the first time I was up there. Man, that
mm-hmm.
wind was vicious. What they call it, the Hawk?
Yep. They don't call it the Windy City for nothing.
Yeah, that was rough. I'm glad I had the proper amount of clothes on.
Yes.
But even in the springtime.
Anybody inviting somebody to Chicago after October should be telling them, please wear a big coat.
Yeah, well, even in the spring, see, I came up there. Well, I know when I last time I was up there, I came in the month of October. So, man, I wish I would have brought an extra T-shirt or something extra. It was
yeah.
a bit cool. It was a bit cool. Cool. It was a lot cooler than I expected for April.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
forgot, oh, wait, this is Illinois.
Yeah, don't you know we have had snow as late as May here.
You see, and that's late. I know some places
mm-hmm.
have it in October. In April.
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all right off the lake, and then I'm sure you got that Arctic air that comes from Canada.
Yeah.
That whistles through there, too. So, and next time I come up there, I have to take another. I'll bring, just in case, bring up something a little bit warmer to put on.
Yeah.
But I was just up there for the day. If I had stayed longer, I would have made a run to Walmart or someplace like that. So, but
now Chicago.
All right, well,
it
sounds like it was a good turnout for year number 10. And now the
yeah.
age ranges were, I mean, what you had them pop through, what were the ages this year, about the same as usual?
From
or what?
7 to 20.
Okay, well, I'm sure the 7-year-olds were happy.
Oh, yes. Yes. So, and I arranged for Saturday where the 20-year-olds were all entertainers this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were with a different dance group. So our vendors, the children who were then, were like from like about 7 to 14.
Now, what was somebody, because like you said, with this, they the children work. So what was some of the, you know, the jobs that they got to experience that day, the youth?
Well, basically just selling. Some worked with the cleanup crew. And we wouldn't let any of them use the grill, though. They couldn't do any of the cooking because I didn't want to take that chance.
Right.
So next year, when we do it again, I'm going to have to work on figuring out something. And I'm not really an outdoor barbecue person. So I'm going to have to figure out something where they might be able to. I know they got some kind of grill that one of the chefs would be able to teach them how to use it. So I'm going to work on that for the next
one. That can be a learning center for people children that might be interested in cooking. Because I cooked my first meal, if you want to call it that. The first thing my aunt taught me was a hot dog. Simple, you know, but it was a big deal to me at the time. You know, took a hot dog, put it in the water, turn on, you know, the stove top, and I was a happy camper. That was the first thing I learned how to cook. So,
yes.
I'm sure that could be a cooking class. Yeah, barbecue, and then you know, teach them safety first and that type of thing. So yeah, that'll be and then they can also, if they don't actually do the cooking, they can participate in the prep. Depends on what you're cooking. Hot dogs are pretty simple. Hamburgers, a little bit more involved if they're going to actually make the patty. And then some of that stuff they might want to learn before. Well, it was all day event, so you got enough time to teach them how to prep from scratch, you know, chop up onions or.
Because I know quite a few certified chefs, including myself.
How to season food and type of thing. So,
actually, I want to teach them how to use different herbs to heal the body.
That's a good idea because I think as people, the earlier they can learn about proper nutrition, the benefits will pay through all their lives, particularly when they get older.
Yeah.
Particularly dealing with herbs and whatnot. You got a class today?
Yeah, at 11. Our youngest person, she wasn't an official vendor, but we had a 2-year-old.
Okay.
Had her own lemonade stand.
Two's young.
Huh?
Two's young.
She was 2 years old.
How did she make out with that?
She did great. She knew how to serve and everything. The only thing she didn't want to do was collect the money.
Well, you can't make lemonade and sell it too. So, she had her mother or something like that helping her?
Yeah, her mom was with her.
All right, that's good. Now, how much was the lemonade?
She sold it for
$1. I guess she sold about $1 a cup. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, it all went to a good cause.
Yeah.
All went to a good cause.
She was telling people that it was her school money. So I guess her mom had already talked to her about developing a college fund.
Well, that's good. 2 years old and developing the the entrepreneurial mindset at too. She made something, and people will help a 2-year-old out. So that's something that she can do as long as she wants to, really.
Right. Yes. So I enjoyed today, but I'm telling you, I was so tired.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you got to be up before everybody else.
But it was okay being tired.
Yeah, you had to be up before everybody else, and then check people in and monitor the event the whole day. And then when it's time to break down, you know, you got to break it all down. So,
there's an organization here called the Original Men in Black. When it came time to break down, they were our security, along with the ABJ Center, who was and Trinity Church, who gave us the location. They did the breakdown, and I was so happy. I just had to stay until it finished. So,
okay.
But it was great.
Now, I spoke to Reba yesterday. Now, she was selling Mary Kay there?
Huh?
Reba, I spoke to her yesterday. Was she selling Mary Kay?
I didn't sell anything there. She was walking around interacting with the young people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought she might be selling about Mary Kay. She's active. Reba's out. Man, it seems like she might be out somewhere every day.
Yeah.
Or close to it. So.
Started that new job.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm glad that's going
that.
Well for her.
Right. All right, well, it was a good event. And hopefully that politician that showed up will continue to support it.
Oh, I think she
now,
will.
You know what, the
you
thing is, had that event had, let's say, 1,000 people. No, let's say 2,000. No, 1,000 people. Then you probably would have saw more politicians there. They like to show up for big crowds.
Now, politicians who have supported us in the past, Rod Sawyer came when we were in his ward. He came. He had the 6th ward. Now, he would come every year because it was in his ward. But see, the reason that I mentioned Jeanette Taylor, this was not her ward that we had it in.
Okay.
This was another politician's ward who didn't dare show up. And she's running for re-election, and I can promise you that I will not be voting for her in November. And I will not be telling anybody else to vote for her.
Okay.
She's running for Congress this time. And I will be telling the people whose ward district that was, I will be telling them, why are you showing up for somebody that don't show up for you?
Right. Right.
See, they know I don't mind calling them out. Okay.
Well, Chicago politics
and they
is
got a,
what I hear.
They got a big event coming up this Saturday. And I done already told a couple of hundred people, no, I will not. And they used to me being there every year. And I already told them, I won't be there. Go at your own risk. I won't be there. No. LA, you would be surprised. And I know Reba done told you how many people I actually support in their efforts that never show up for me. And I came to the conclusion that after 10 years, it's time for me to stop supporting people that don't support me.
Okay.
So that's my new thing this year. You don't support me, I won't be supporting you.
Fair enough.
Huh?
Fair enough.
That's it. I can put that energy with somebody that want to work on building something.
Right. Well, I'm sure you'll... When it comes to voting time, you might might get a phone call or somebody knock on your door that might need your help, but they weren't there to help you out.
Okay. Yeah. Because I got other calls coming in now. Why are people bugging me this morning?
Well, you just had that event now. It's just Tuesday, so you might have some people calling from that. All right, well, Mama.
Okay, I am. I'm going to call them back.
Okay.
But, yeah, I got to get ready to get downstairs, too.
All right, yeah, because you got class.
I have to look out for my seniors.
No problem. Well, that's unless it's 10:35 now where you are, so they'll be there soon.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll talk later this week. I'll give you a call.
Okay. I'll try to catch you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks
a lot.
All right.
Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. I'm really getting sick and tired of you, Lamar Johnson. I really am. It doesn't make any sense.
YouTube, go ahead and hit that like button and make sure that you share this video. All right, man, let's get to the nitty gritty here. You know what I mean? Corey Holcomb, you know, who was a very respected, you know, activist, comedian, you know, whatever you want to call him. I think you said he had a podcast for about a decade now.
5150.
Yeah. Definitely respect it. You know, salute to what you do. Salute, you know, to, you know, just being bold and speaking your mind. We definitely, you know, salute that and appreciate that. But it's a clip that came out the other day that's been making, you know, some you know, pretty splashes in the black community, where he's coming out and pretty calling, you know, people out by name, namely, I ain't even going to say nothing. I'm just going to play the video and we're going to talk about this shit, man. Mm-hmm. This is crazy right here.
Your money ran off with it. Cause I done met these niggas.
Man, yeah, me too.
When I go up to Zoe Show,
yeah,
I done met a nigga. And then when I look at this nigga on the internet, I be like, this nigga is a crook.
Right.
This nigga ran off with all them people's money.
Yeah. Shit, he didn't run. He just turned the internet off and went to sleep.
I ain't gonna say no names. I ain't gonna say no names, but he was polite about it. Everybody who know what I'm talking about, he was polite about it.
Yes, man.
Got your money. You entrusted in a motherfucker. Talk about R. Kelly or some shit. Motherfucker, you gave a sucker-ass nickel your money and he ran off with it.
Man.
No, motherfuckers talking about Umar Johnson. Yeah, Umar Johnson got your money too. He said he was going to get a school, but motherfuckers put the shit up there. Polite.
Oh, yeah, that nigga traveling, that nigga all over the world, nigga riding elephants and buying bitches' titties.
Wow. There's motherfuckers out here who are real predators, scam artist niggas.
Yeah, straight out.
You know what I'm saying? But it ain't no Lifetime channel about that because they really don't know that much about them, nigga.
A lot said. First of all, I have to 100% salute that brother for saying it like that. And then we were talking in the pre-production, and it just... You got these little channels that's speaking up with 200, 300 subscribers, but none of these people, none of these guys with the bigger platforms ever say anything, even though they know this shit's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Umar, we've been talking about this. This dude gave multiple dates and straight up and down lies to the people. It ain't no other way to get around it. I don't give a fuck what this dude say. You know what I mean? To all these people on YouTube, fake, what, conscious, woke. It's become about, nigga, like we said, he's doing the same exact thing that he's accusing everybody else of doing. Going around preaching the same bullshit conscious rhetoric, getting money and not doing shit for 10 years. They gave this nigga money. They gave this nigga $750,000 to $1 million. He hasn't done shit with it. but go around and act like the next pastor in your church. That's all it is, dog. I've been to these meetings, these arenas and shit, you know, these conscious lectures, not just like church. They come around, they give you, you know, the dancing, you know, the dashikis, you know what I mean? Then Umar comes and gives a little with the word. And they got the fucking offering played out looking for money. At the end of the game, you go and buy the books. You say bye. They never build shit. It's all bullshit. The dude's a liar. The dude's a scammer. We can go right down the line to the next cat. Polite. This nigga done beat niggas for money for years. We've been talking about this shit years ago. People, you know, said we was parasites, we was agents, we was devils, we was all this. Get the fuck out of here. Now we gone. Still doing it. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, God, man. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Let's go all the way here real quick. And I'm not playing devil's advocate because I disagree, because I 1,000% agree with everything you say. But we dropped a couple videos, and I said I didn't really want to talk about this anymore because I want to talk to the source himself because, yeah, this is cool, but all this bullshit, nah. Let's have a conversation man to man. That being said, until that happens, let's have this conversation. Now, there's a lot of people that know you that get creep in the comment section because we're not afraid to talk about it all.
Right.
Let's get uncensored real quick.
Yes, sir.
That say that you used to support this brother.
Mm-hmm.
You were there. You used to ride for him, this and that and the third. And now you're turning your back, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Because he lied.
Talk about it.
Because he lied. And that's right. I did. I supported not only for just talking on YouTube. I drove out to lectures. You know what I mean? I bought merchandise. I bought books. I bought the fucking fake ass vegan food at the end of the, you know, the lectures. I've done this type of stuff. I wanted to, you know what I mean? I was really real about what I was doing. But these dudes, you know, were just about getting another buck. You know what I mean? So that, you know, somebody like me who up until last year was riding hard because I thought this dude was sincere. I thought he had, you know, he was committed to his people, like he said. These are the words that he put up that he was supposed to be living up by. So when he comes out, Umar says, oh, you know what I mean? You got these people talking. Don't listen to them. No, don't listen to us. Listen to your fucking words, Umar. You the one that said you was going to have the school multiple dates and never did it. You the one who won't show the people the money that they gave you. That's not your money. That's not an isolated incident with somebody who's doing business. Nah, that is you took people's money to do something. You didn't do it. And not only you didn't do it, you won't even show them the money. You won't even show the people that own money you keep. You know, oh, Valentine's Day. Are we going to do with this? You're a fucking liar, dude. It just is what it is. At the very least, you're a liar. And nobody should be giving you money. That just is what it is, man.
10 years. You had 10 years.
You can do
a lot in 10 fucking years.
Come on, man.
You can do a lot in 10 years. Shit, you got presidents that go 2 terms in 10 years. Whole fucking countries get changed in 10 years.
Yeah.
If you wanted to build a school, if you realistically knew you couldn't build a school, you know that in 2 years. Okay, this isn't going to be really realistically going to be able to happen. Let me go to the people and let them know plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to the people and let them know plan C. You, who knows what you did with the money? Because if we talk about heart to heart, what we may assume you did with the money, with coons, with this, because we're not supporting this, we're not doing that, we're doing that. Man, fuck that shit.
Mm-hmm.
This shit is going on and these roaches are crawling around right up under us and mm-hmm. we're allowed to accept it and supposed to let that go on. This isn't a brother that's been talking for 3 months that we didn't give a chance to. This isn't a brother that's been talking for a year and we give a chance to. 10 motherfucking years.
Yeah.
You've been to lectures. You've supported him. You've bought books. You've bought me books.
Yeah.
You spoke so highly of this brother. You were sitting right there on the front line ready to maybe possibly even take a bullet. People called you fucking retarded for it. But you know why you did it? Because you believed in this motherfucker.
Yeah.
And he cheated.
What are you saying earlier? You was like, you got people out there talking who didn't give any money. What do you say to that? I know what I got to say to that. What do you got to say to that, Umar? You ain't giving no money. So why the hell are you talking to the school?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't.
But we could, motherfucker. We could
put
right
our
now.
Where our mouth is.
We could right
you're
now.
Right.
That's the thing. That you want to come here and sit in this seat? We could do it. How much you need on the school, Umar? See, we could put our money where our mouth is. We could drop 10, 20, 30,000 on the school if we fucking wanted to, but we not because you're a liar. And we know that that money ain't going to do nothing but go in your pocket and pay for Japanese salt baths and blonde hair strippers and shit, nigga. Come on, man.
And the wild part is we've got 2 major platforms that we can sit here and promote and push. And three. Holla,
yeah.
My fault on Set the True Podcast official motherfucking channel. Apologies on that. But we got platforms on here that we can show the people exactly what's going on and support you and move in the right direction and really get this going.
That's a tax write-off. That's a tax write-off.
Come on, man. You got businesses.
Yeah.
But we ignorant. We stupid. We ain't got the right thing. So like I said, if he doesn't want to come on, cool. Any of your faculty that's getting ready for that February 14th conversation. Any motherfucking janitors that's getting ready for that conversation. Any mothers that got any acceptance letters for their babies to get to go into that school, cool. Because if you don't want to invite us to the school, fine. I don't got to go to the school. Because if you put the school up, I have no problem admitting that I'm wrong. Salute you, brother, because all we want is the fucking school.
It ain't no school, bro.
That's all we want.
And you're gonna get
but
the
it
school.
Ain't no school.
There's people buying schools all day long. Those brothers is making videos in Philly. At schools for less than what he said he has right now. I seen it. Schools all up and down. We can do the shit and probably find schools all day long. There ain't no school, bro. It ain't going to be no school. It's just not. It ain't. You know what I mean? And you know, salute once again, Corey Holcomb. Zoe Williams, you know, for really, you know, bringing that to light and a real, you know, prominent voice speaking up because people will call you crazy. People get you all types of threats, but they won't threaten the dude to actually took their bread and said he was going to do something. He didn't do it yet. And there's no excuse. And it's like, all right, even if it took you 10 years and you legitimately have some holdups, just let the people fucking know. Show them the money. Like, all right, the money's here. We good. Dr. Umar, how much is it going to cost for us to have a conversation with you about that school? We got to donate $1,000, $2,500 to get the blueprint, to talk to some faculty, to see if you're really trying to get a school, Doc. The money's on the table, man. Take us up on that offer, bro.
Trying to talk about that live, brother. Like I said, the offer is yours. Shout out to Corey Holcomb, Zoe Williams, and Darlene. Sir. That was real dope. We heard Darlene in the background talking about that was church. And, I mean, that's all we've been talking about. That's church 101. But anyway, moving on to the Uncensored Truth podcast. We love him doing what we do, man. I want to talk about real quick. Let's segue because I think we're about to get up out of here. But Nick Cannon, he was talking on TMZ about the whole Travis Scott situation. Obviously, we got the Super Bowl coming in a couple weeks. Very critical of Travis Scott, as many people are. It's very popular to be critical of Travis Scott right now, given the fact of what he's doing.
Yeah.
Let me hear, give you a little bit of a context of what he's saying, and let me get your thoughts on that, man.
What's up?
Oh Lord, I popped a lot of pills, but I've never touched nothing that my spirit could kill. You know I've seen a lot of people walking around with tombstones in their eyes. God damn the pusher. Your body, love will leave your mind to scream.
Get on your man, keep in mind.
I'm on a trending topic. Jamal Edwards, who most of you probably don't know who that was. Hell, I didn't know who he was 30 minutes ago. But Jamal Edwards, he was a YouTube star who got recognized. He was part of the British Order through the work he's done in England. But I'll read the headline. Jamal Edwards, like, once again, he's a YouTuber. He was a YouTuber. Cocaine sparked death of entrepreneur, Corner concludes. Cocaine sparked the death of entrepreneur and YouTube star Jamal Edwards, a coroner has concluded. An inquest was held at West Londoner's court into Edwards' death at age 31 in February of this year. He was the son of musician and loose woman host Brenda Edwards. There was evidence of cocaine toxicity in Edwards' body, Assistant Coroner Ivor Collette said, adding that the cause of death was cardiac arrhythmia following cocaine use. The coroner concluded that the cause of death was drug-related. A toxicology report found there was evidence of cocaine and use and presence of cocaine and alcohol, which probably caused his death. If I had magical powers, I would legalize all drugs globally. Here's my reason or rationale. Number one, anybody who wants drugs can get drugs. Absolutely anybody. So you're not going to stop it. Number two is I like the stance that Portugal has taken. And there'll be other countries that follow Portugal. Now, it might take some time because right now you have a lot of governments around the world and a lot of local municipalities around the world that they have criminalized drug use. And essentially, when I look at a crime book, you know, the criminal code, which is available at any local library, at least here in the United States it is, and I'm sure it is in some other places. But when you look at, for instance, they're profit centers. Any crime is essentially, if it's in the law book, it's basically a profit center for the state. Even murder. At one time, when one person killed another person, the debt that needed to be repaid or the reparations that needed to be paid or whatever you want to call it, that went, that was between the family of the deceased and the person who killed that family member. Then government has to get in on it. And they've developed quite a few industries out of it. So that's why you probably won't see a lot of companies, I mean, not companies, but countries. And I think Portugal, now if you get caught with anything in Portugal, they have decriminalized possession and distribution, which is sales. You might get a civil matter, but you're not going to go to court. I mean, you're not going to go to jail for life or even a year or nothing like that. There's civil penalties in Portugal. And I'm sure they, their whole thing, their emphasis is on treatment over punishment. Because a lot of people who had, like this guy, Jamal or whatever his name was, I mean, it was, Jamal Edwards, that's his name. I mean, most number one, people that use this stuff don't even know the pharmacology of it, so they don't know how to cut it. They don't, none of that stuff. But that's a whole nother podcast. We had to bring a pharmacist in on that. But and I don't take, I don't smoke, I don't take any type of drugs. It's been a long time since I've had aspirin. Okay, I try to go the natural way first. That. I'm not knocking over-the-counter. I'm not knocking prescription. I'm just saying my go-to, my first go-to is to find some type of natural remedy. And if I can't find that, then all right, what do they have over-the-counter? And if nothing over-the-counter, then I haven't had to go to the doctor for prescription medication in well over 25 years. And the last time I got it, I read the side of the bottle, possible side effects, and rare cases could cause death. I stopped right there. I didn't even open it. And I found a natural solution like a day or two later. So in any event, going back to my little rant on this, so I think more countries, and maybe more countries will take on just like with the Brittany Griner thing. Now, granted, and I'm gonna go with her story. She was in a hurry to pack, cause that's often me. I'm in a hurry, but I don't smoke nothing. I don't take nothing illegal, so I've never thrown in. You know, I don't have to worry about that. But let's go with her story. She was in a rush. She threw some stuff in her bag. Supposedly, she does have a prescription for what she had in her bag. But when you're going to a foreign country that has tough drug laws, you need to slow it down. If you miss your plane, there's always another one. Okay. But you want to make sure you go through those, you enter a country right. And it was, obviously, it was in plain sight. It's in plain sight. So, anyway, but what she got busted with, and not all states here in the United States, but most states, well, not, many states, I won't even say most, but many states in the United States, what she got busted for in Russia, it's no big deal in places like D.C. or Oregon over this way or Washington State. There's some other states, too. In other states in the United States, you could get arrested. But, it could be you're arrested, but it could be or let them out on their own recognizance, something like that. But, I got to go with Portugal. I like what Portugal has done. It is, the way I look at it, a drug addict, with no judgment here, a drug addict, heroin, crack, cocaine, pick your poison. They have a health problem. They have a health problem. But there's some recreational users, but they're recreational users. But there's some people, they have a serious health problem. And I think it's a waste of time to lock them up for punishment. Now, if a person's sick and they've been busted selling, because some people sell to support their habit. And I don't know what remedies Portugal has for this, but they're civil. I don't know if this is one of their civil remedies. But if a person's sick, they need treatment, then send them to a treatment center. Now, I don't know how that would be. Now, I don't know if they would run that under civil law, that they would have to mandatorily, go. I don't know if it's considered mandatory treatment. I don't know if that would be, I guess you can dress that up if you know how to write the legalese on it. Mandatory treatment, because a lot of people that go into treatment and then they leave like the next day or way before the program's over with. So I think one civil penalty could be, once again, civil, not criminal, would be mandatory treatment. And if they don't abide by the rules of mandatory treatment and they go out and get high again or whatever, and they die, that's on them. That's on them. But I like Portugal. Like I say, I don't smoke, get high, none of that stuff. Because, like I say, with most drugs, particularly street level drugs, the average drug user knows nothing, absolutely nothing about pharmacology. The strength of it, what has been cut, what hasn't been cut at all. How much to take, this, that, other. And then essentially what they're doing is they're playing Russian roulette. I think, no judgment here, that's probably what could have happened to, the late Whitney Houston. She had probably taken a relaxing bath like that for years, decades even. But one time, it was one time too many. Just saying, don't know, wasn't there, didn't know her. Nothing like that. But anyway, Jamal Edwards, gone at 31 from, I guess, the cocaine over. He had a sudden heart attack from using cocaine. I recommend people, his YouTube channel is SBTV. Alcohol, he also has some alcohol with it. He probably could have done that dozens of times. No, these days, some stuff is spiked with fentanyl. But like Portugal, Well, like I say, no matter what you do, there's a black market. There's a black market. Anything you want on the planet, there's a black market for it. And those are places often that the government can't reach. So, but I believe, and one thing with everything legalized in Portugal, I think you eliminate the criminal element, particularly the violent criminal element. Sort of like what they did when they, prohibition, they was violent.